desierto, el viento me despeina, suelo aroma de colita en una dona de labios. Ella de lo lejos, una luz en tela, la idea de Mercán, te vi por en la noche, ella estaba a la entrada y la campana ya sonar, y me dijo ya me mimo, esto puedo del cielo. Ella se dio una vela y nuestra de camino, soy vos el corredor y yo te dije diciendo, he venido del California.
I was like, listen, here's what you gotta do. You need a mohawk.
Mm.
And you need to wear as much jewelry as you possibly can.
Mm.
And I was just giving him advice. Like, he came to me because he knew about me and how, you know, I sometimes console about people's look. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, console about how our brand is and it's timeless. And so we had a few cups of coffee. He doesn't drink alcohol. I really like him. And he became a popular wrestler and an actor. Turns out, it was Mr. T.
Mr. T.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that that's who it was. I just thought, Mr. T, you don't realize they're a celebrity until you see him on TV a few times.
Like, so you influenced him to get the mohawk?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
He was going to do a complete afro. And I was like, well, it's kind of played out. It's the late 70s, early 80s.
Good call. Good call.
So I just do the mohawk, and people liked it.
Cool.
I think it was a great call. We have we play bocce ball every other month when our schedules align. But he's a great guy, and he's good people.
Yeah. Hey, this is Dylan and Dutch coming at you.
Dylan and Dutch metal detecting episode 5
coming at you. Hey, Dylan, you know, we always talk about what we're drinking.
Yes.
Every episode.
Every single one.
That
is not to say we are alcoholics.
No, not at all.
Because I think I only drink, like, just a little bit, and I prefer scotch over anything.
We enjoy a libation now and then.
Just a little bit. Not even enough to get a little, like, tipsy. It's interesting. Trying different flavors. You know, it's good to keep your mind open when it comes to ingesting legal alcohol.
Legal.
Legal.
Legal amounts.
Absolutely. I'm driving right now. I don't have any alcohol in my system.
None.
But when we get to your place, we're going to try some scotch. What was the scotch you're going to try?
You know, did I already mention the Stranahan's that I have? Because
oh,
I
love that Stranahan's. It's good.
Colorado whiskey. Colorado.
Yeah, who would have thought?
You know, I went to the distillery there, and they got a good little distillery. And small batches, true small batches. A lot of distilleries, they'll say, you know, oh, we're a small batch distillery, but this is one of those distilleries that you can trust.
Single malt.
Yeah.
Single malt and blended are exactly that.
What's our topic for today, Dylan?
On the way here, we were talking about funny vacation stories with our family. And we're both family men. We love our families. We love our wives, our children.
Love our families.
The reason we work isn't just to provide for them, but also show our children that you have a work ethic. And it's not about making money. It's about giving back to the community at large.
Yes.
The overall goal I have in my life is to make the world a little bit better when I'm gone. When I'm on my deathbed, I want to say, I think I helped make things a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I want my children to reflect that.
Yeah. I want to make the world a lot better.
You're so ambitious.
You know, and sometimes my ambition is my fatal flaw.
We're going to agree to disagree, because your ambition is amazing.
Oh my
gosh. I love it. And let's talk about our vacation to Nicaragua. What do you say?
Nicaragua. You know, that will go down as one of the most intense vacations I've ever taken.
God's country. It's beautiful.
Oh, gorgeous.
Beautiful rainforest.
Yeah.
Lots of amazing animals, great adventure, peaceful. People are great. They love tourists. I can't say a bad thing about Nicaragua, except, and this isn't bad because I look at a glass half full, because now we're driving back to your place and we get to talk about our trip into a cavernous mine.
One of the coolest mines I've ever been in, and one of the most unexpected finds in a mine.
It's a complete plot twist. You go in, because we decided to go into this mine as a vacation. We tell our wives, listen, we need some time, we're going to go off, we're going to search.
Yeah.
Part of searching is finding new things. But we don't do it for glory. We don't do it for glory. We don't do it to get publicized. We certainly don't do it to make money. We push ourselves because exactly that. We push ourselves. Can we do it? Can we persevere? Who knows? But we want to find out the limits a man can go. It turns out, working together as Dylan and Dutch, there are no limits.
You know, people, sometimes they're born with a calling on their life. They're born with a gifting. They're born with a certain skill set and talents that it would be... not even... criminal's not even the right word. I mean, we're talking about...
It would be blasphemous.
Blasphemous. It's a universal slight for them not to fulfill that calling.
When Nolan Ryan was born, God... reached down from the heavens, touched his arm. He had a 100-mile-an-hour plus fastball, 9 no-hitters. When Muhammad Ali was born, God gave him the talent to be a great fighter, and he was one of the greatest.
You know, I still have my Nolan Ryan 5,000 strikeout baseball cards.
Do you really?
I do.
He was one of my favorite pitchers.
Oh, you couldn't not love him.
No, you really can't.
Unless he was pitching against your team.
Right. But then, at the same time, you got to respect him.
Yeah, you got to respect him.
When we were born, I have a strong feeling God said, let them be metal detectors. Let them search out treasure. Dutch. We go to Nicaragua, go into the cave mines, explain to the listeners what makes a cave.
So, most often, you get a cave that forms out of limestone rock. Limestone is actually formed from ancient seashells that collected on the bottom of the ocean.
That's right.
Foraminifera, microscopic seashells.
Yes.
That over millennia.
It's 1,000 years. Go.
Condense and form this rock, limestone. And through tectonic shifts in activities and movement, this seabed, the seafloor, is now actually part of the surface and land, dry land. So anyways, through this uplift, now we have exposed limestone rock, which is susceptible to dissolution.
Absolutely.
By carbonic acid.
Every time.
How do you get carbonic acid?
Good question.
There's carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Rainwater absorbs some of this carbon dioxide, forms this carbonic acid. This carbonic acid is going to seek out the weak points in the rock. Guess what? Limestone is a weak point in the rock.
Yeah, it is.
It can form, and again, we're not talking about human time scales. We're talking about geologic time scales.
Tens of thousands of years.
Or more. Cave swarm. Rock dissolves.
Yeah.
This takes a long time, people. You're not going to see a cave form in your lifetime.
If you go into a cave, you have to realize that it has been there for hundreds of thousands of years. It doesn't happen overnight.
No, not at all. We find... We were told about this cave in Nicaragua.
Is it a fable? We talked to the local people there.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much, quote-unquote, academic intellectual research you could put into certain things. Things become fabled. You have to talk to the locals who know what's going on. Case in point, Machu Picchu was, and I'm getting quoting, discovered in the 1800s by some guy. Actually, the Peruvians knew it was there the entire time. So, we're not discovering this cave, no. But we want to talk to the locals. It's important to be respectful.
Always.
It's important not to offend anyone, their beliefs, their traditions. People hold them dear. So do we. Americans hold traditions dear, too.
We do.
We just celebrated Thanksgiving.
We did.
Yeah.
First country to have a holiday, official federal holiday, to give thanks.
Yeah, and overeat.
Oh, for sure.
What's your favorite plate? Before we go on.
Stuffing.
Yeah?
Did I have to think about that?
Wait.
Did I have to think about that? No.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question right now. Homemade stuffing or stovetop stuffing?
Homemade.
Really?
Really.
Homemade stuffing's okay.
I love the homemade. I have to say I love the homemade stuffing.
What do you put in it?
Cause we gravy. Need...
Gravy?
I cover it with gravy.
But what do you put in the homemade stuffing? It's like sausage.
I don't make it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't make it either.
I don't make it. No.
I like stovetop, but I'm not going to mention their names. I have many sisters. My middle sister made some homemade stuffing for Thanksgiving. It was really good.
You know the other thing that I love the most?
Yeah. No. What?
The canned cranberry sauce.
You like the cranberry sauce?
Jellied cranberry sauce. Not the one with the chunks of cranberries?
Yeah.
That's good, but give me that jellied cranberry sauce.
Mashed potatoes is my thing, but it has to be homemade, and I do a pretty good job.
You know, I mashed the potatoes.
Oh, really?
At Thanksgiving.
Were they hand-mashed?
Yes.
That makes them the
best. I used an actual masher. Yeah. I mashed them.
Was it a plastic or was it a metal?
Metal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone gives me a plastic masher, I'm going to throw it in their face. What are you thinking about?
Useless.
Completely. It's going to break.
Yeah. Might as well get the $30 metal
Why don't you
detector.
Just stab me through the heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're in Nicaragua.
Nicaragua.
We talk to the locals. There's a fabled...
What would you even call this fabled object?
It's a ruby-encrusted diamond. It's a, excuse me, a diamond-encrusted ruby.
Diamond...
It is...
Encrusted ruby. The thing about this that made it so special, it was not just, you know, somebody placed a ruby, set a ruby, and then encrusted diamonds all around it. This was a naturally occurring, which,
this only happens in Nicaragua. This is why we went.
I mean, as far as I know, it's one of the only ones that exists. A ruby encrusted with diamonds.
They call it the sorcerer's eye.
That's right, the sorcerer's eye. How do you say that in...
I don't know Spanish.
Well, I don't think it was even Spanish. I think it was some indigenous language.
Right.
Yeah,
lost to the ages.
Know. Yeah.
But the common phraseology was the sorcerer's eye.
Yeah, that's what everyone called it. So they tell us about it, because we're asking them about this one cave, and they're telling us that this cave is shrouded in mystery, that
not to go in there.
The sorcerer's eye is fabled.
There's poisonous snakes in there.
Poisonous snakes, other terrors that they won't even tell us about. That are in the deep depths of this cave.
We were going through some of the villages, not to cut you off. We're going through some of the villages. It's like, tell us about this cave. They slammed the door on us.
Yeah, some people. It was interesting. I will say I was
one man.
Not
one man urinated himself when we told him we're going to go in this cave. He's like, no, don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really bad.
What does that do to us?
I'll tell you what it does to me. What's it do to you? I know when people warn us not to do something, I know what it does to me. What's it do to you?
Motivates me.
It emboldens me.
Oh.
To me, it says, I'm absolutely going to do that. Not to prove a point to them that they're wrong. It's to prove a point to me. When someone says, you can't do that, Dylan, what I tell them is, just watch me.
It goes back to... your calling, your purpose.
Right.
This is what you've been called to do. What your purpose is. Your purpose is to go do those things that everyone says.
You can't do that.
No,
you can't fight a team of cobras in Malaysia. You can't...
trained cobras.
Yeah, they're trained to attack. You can't live with honey badgers.
Huh.
You can't fight a Maori army.
No.
With just your bare hands. Things that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
In Nicaragua, they say you can't go into that cave. It wasn't illegal to go into it. They just said you can't go into it.
Didn't need to be illegal. Yeah. Everyone was so terrified of it.
There are jumping vipers.
Jumping vipers.
There are hissing cockroaches.
Vampire bats.
I think they were vampire bats. It was just out of your... To most people's nightmares. For us, it's vacation. So we go in.
We find a local who's willing to take us within... What was it, like 5 miles of the cave?
A guide. Yeah, a guide that was comfortable just going in 5 miles.
5 miles.
Sure.
And so we scan the rest of the, you know, entrance or the distance to the cave. We find it. We go in.
And before we even go in, we do some research. We pull some public records with the local government. And we have a good idea of where we are in the cave system, how big it is, how deep it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out... It was a corrupt local government, and they gave us the absolute wrong cave schematics.
Yeah. We tried following the map. Not at all. But it was. We found so many other entrances to side tunnels and shafts.
We figured we'd be fine. Yeah. We're in the side of an enormous mountain, and it's going to go pretty far deep. There are other entrances, exits... And we figure we're going to be fine if we don't go back the same way.
So we end up, I mean, when you're in a cave like that, you're underground. There's no light. There's no night. There's no day. There's nothing. Your whole internal clock just gets completely changed.
And we're used to that.
We are.
The guide, 5 miles in, says, I've reached my point. You're not going to come out alive. And he laughed. And we paid him, because we said, well, can we pay him when we come out? He's like, no, I want payment now. I was like, well, that makes sense, because we may come out a different exit. Then how are we going to track him down?
And I remember you said, tell you what, I'm going to give you the same amount when we come back.
Yeah, when we come back, you're going to get double, just to prove a point.
Yeah, just to prove that, hey, thanks, you took us there.
I forget his name, but this was years ago. Good guy. He sent us a postcard.
He did.
For July 4th. He must have gone on Google or something, found out what popular holiday was for. Yeah. He sent something to Dylan in Dutch. Just a postcard saying, hey, how's everything going?
Yeah, when I was sifting through the pile, I found it.
We're Facebook friends.
Yeah. Where do we leave off?
We're inside the mine. The guide is gone.
Gone. Cave. It's a natural...
Excuse me, cave. I call... Usually we go into mines, but...
Well, but people did mine in this cave system. Yeah. Yeah, so...
Diamonds, opals. It wasn't necessarily a gold mine, but it's certainly diamond mines.
It was very rich in gemstones. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, we noticed as we were...
A lot of rose quartz.
Yeah. Like I said, there was... You lose track of time. We were in there... I don't know how long. We finally... Because we were just exploring, going down tunnel after tunnel, mapping the whole entire mine extensively. As we go, it's the only responsible thing to do.
You have to know how to survey.
Yeah. And we run out of food. And we realize...
8 days in, we run out of food.
We realize, oh my gosh, we've been in here 8 days.
Yeah.
I think we maybe had taken... I think we'd slept once in that period of time.
Right.
Would you say? Yeah.
One person sleeps, the other person stands guard.
Yeah. Because, you know...
Probably
two hours.
2 hours and 8 days.
Yeah, I mean, really, you're just going off of what can my body do, not, you know...
We still have human bodies, even though our minds are much stronger than we let on.
Yeah. 8 days, we run out of food, we realize, okay, we gotta figure something out.
We have to make a plan of attack. Already. See, when you're in nature, if you have the knowledge, you're never going to run out of food.
No.
You're just not going to.
No.
Jumping vipers, they're hard to catch, and we weren't going to try and seek them out.
No.
Because they are, it's like the third or fourth most poisonous snake in the world. They're coral snakes. Those are pretty dangerous. They taste awful anyways. And in the pitch dark, let's say we even caught a coral snake, devenoming it would be impossible without some type of light.
Yeah. And, good point, we had no light.
Right.
Yeah, we ran out of light long before we ran out of food. Batteries had run out day four, maybe. Because we had to have light the whole time. So at this point, it was, based on other senses.
Bats were plentiful. But the thing about bats is, it wasn't like full of bats. The thing is, bats, they poop, and their poop turns into what people call guano, like mountains of it. There weren't like mountains of it in this cave, because if there were, there's a chemical reaction to the guano. It turns the air into ammonia, and we'd be dead within minutes of being in there. But there were enough bats flying around that you could just reach up and feel them on the ceiling and grab them. Mm-hmm. Crack their neck. The thing about a bat is, first of all, they're very essential to the ecosystem. So we're going to kill a bunch, but we got to eat, and we figure we're kind of higher on the food chain. So you grab a bat, you hold it around, and bats' heads will swivel all the way around. You have to pop the heads off with your other hand.
Mm-hmm.
After like day 14, it was like nothing.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I got kind of a taste for a bat.
Every once in a while, I'll try to order a bat in a restaurant.
Yeah, they're going to be like, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
What was that, Fuddruckers we were at? We did that? So, we'll try next time. When we go to TGI Fridays, I'm sure they have something.
Probably. Like, look in the back. Look in the freezer.
So, day 14, 15, we're just exploring around with our hands. And we encounter our first challenge. It was a den of jumping vipers.
Now, the jumping vipers, like Dylan mentioned earlier, those are one of the most venomous snakes
in
the world. And in South America specifically.
Do you want to tell them why?
Central America specifically.
Do you want to tell them why they're called jumping vipers?
The name itself.
See, they call it a viper based on the style of head it is and the fangs, and it also jumped around.
So we stumble upon this nest of jumping vipers. And we should also mention that this whole time, I mean, like we said, we ran out of light a long time ago. We've been relying solely on echolocation to make our way around this cave.
We need to explain to listeners what echolocation is, but we had to adapt.
We did.
So explain to us what echolocation is. I already know what it is.
Yeah.
I came up with the idea to do it.
You know what? You did. I'm not even going to try to take credit for that. So bats, they're famous for this. Bats have incredible sense of hearing, not incredible eyesight, but bats are nocturnal.
Right.
They usually hunt when it's dark. They use something called echolocation, where they will make a noise, usually a high-pitched noise, and when they hear that sound reflected back to their ears, they will be able to pinpoint and create a visual map of their surroundings based on the sound alone.
Exactly like Daredevil.
Exactly like Daredevil. And so, if there's a bug moving around, if there's a wall, if there's a tree, if there are leaves, they'll be able to create this map in their brain based solely on sound.
It is pretty accurate. And you know what we found out? Our echolocation was pretty accurate, too. So we'd scream in the mine.
Yep. Yeah, we found that we started off using really low tones, but that just wasn't really... creating enough frequency for
us. Do you want to give an example of the scream? Like, not the full pitch, but like...
Yeah. And also, we did it in bursts.
Yeah.
We didn't just do it long. So it was more like a...
For mine, it was like... And that was the perfect pitch if you do it louder. And we're doing this for hours.
Yeah.
It'll hit part of it and we'll feel it back.
You really have to do it constantly, because if you think, you always have your eyes open. You're always receiving visual input. We have to constantly make these sounds so we can map out our surroundings.
To visualize mm-hmm. us, or me at least, I did have both my machetes out. They're the straight-edge machetes with the jagged edge at the front, razor sharp. That's how I was kind of like piecing around.
I just carried gosh, what was it? I don't even know where I got them. I had two clubs. You know, I think I got them from a police officer in Nicaragua.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember we were drinking that night and
oh my gosh. Jose?
We were playing poker. Yeah. And he lost both
Listen,
of his
tell you right now. You want to have a good time. You play poker with police officers in Nicaragua.
Oh,
they're
my
the funnest
gosh.
People.
Yeah.
And they bet the weirdest things. He took these clubs from a local kingpin who used to beat a couple of his rivals to death. Mm-hmm. He wiped off the blood, threw it right on the table, said, we're playing for this.
And they're good sports.
Oh, yeah.
They're good sports. Because he lost bad. But he was a good sport.
I had a straight flush, and I knew I was going to win. And I thought, I'm in this country. I'm a foreigner. I need to be respectful. It's improper to take someone's money, I think, and so I folded.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you didn't even have to.
I didn't, but they're good people, and I can't wait to go back. I think we're going to go back in like 3 or 4 more years once.
Yeah. Definitely.
But we go in, and we approach what is a den of jumping vipers, and we're at about 25 minutes, Dutch.
We got to hurry this up.
Or
this might be a.
Or I think we should leave people on a cliffhanger.
Okay, so
30 jumping vipers at least, based on our echolocation.
Yeah.
They surround us, and you're gonna have to tune in next week to find out what happens. How does that sound? Does that sound unfair to you?
It does a little bit. Let me give them this one last.
Yes. Thing. Yeah.
One of us gets bitten.
Yep.
By a jumping viper.
Bit right in the shoulder.
And, shoot. Yeah. Now, if you weren't even going to tune in next week, well, I don't know what you're doing with your life. But now,
yeah. So, I'm going to end with this.